hello, 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 everyone. Welcome back to Mallory's Weird World Adventures, the podcast. I'm your host, Mallory, and I'm here to show you just how weird this world of ours really is. So today, I thought I would talk to you guys about something that kind of came back up and cycled through after not being relevant for a couple of years, but is one of my favorite places that I have ever visited, and that is Heidelberg, Germany. Heidelberg is really quite incredible. I had the distinct pleasure of visiting Heidelberg for several days a couple of years ago, and I have to say that I was completely blown away by how distinctive, beautiful, and memorable this city was. Honestly, if I had to pick a place in Europe to live, I'm pretty sure it would be Heidelberg for me. That's how much I loved it. It has elements from the Holy Roman Empire, the French, the Germanic, and naturally, very modern roots from the trendy university city it has become today. Its building, streets, and natural landmarks tell a very rich story. You can actually walk through the old town of Heidelberg, look at a building, see its base, and know about when it was constructed, and then see where it has been addended or added to, and read a history of the building by looking at its architecture. I actually had a guide when I was going through Heidelberg that showed me some examples of that, and it's pretty incredible. So you can kind of visually see the different time periods all kind of built on top of each other in Heidelberg, which is really pretty extraordinary. The Heidelberg Palace is a prime example of this, honestly. You can see its medieval base and that it was made from stone originally, and then you can also see where it was built up by the French and added to centuries later. That's what I love about a lot of the older cities in Europe, is they were always kind of works in progress. You know, everything grows and change and evolves with the time. And you can see representation of many of the major time periods exist in these old cities. And Heidelberg was definitely no different. Robert Bunsen, who you may know because of the Bunsen burner, worked at the university and developed spectral analysis, the groundwork for modern astronomy, while he was in Heidelberg. So it has some pretty fantastical history in itself with that. Like any happening town with a mountain of history behind it, Heidelberg also has a plethora of unusual spots and legends you really have to see for yourself. I mean, there were so many cool little bizarre nods, stories, adventures. So I think that's kind of why I loved Heidelberg so much. So naturally, this being my favorite point of interest anywhere I go, I found myself scouring its core for the more unique and occasionally strange places that make Heidelberg so special. And of course, I found a plethora of really cool places in Heidelberg that were unique and, dare I say, strange. So without further ado, I want to talk to you guys today about some of the most unique things to see while you are in Heidelberg. Let's get started. So naturally, I have to bring up the Heidelberg Bridge Monkey. I would be crazy if I didn't. So the Heidelberg Bridge Monkey is a statue on the bridge. It makes sense. And it's of a baboon-type monkey who is showing his butt to the other side of the river with his tail up. He's holding up a mirror, and I believe there's also his hand is out, and I think that there's a mouse. It's a very interesting setup. It's a very cool looking statue, to be quite honest. And what originally started out back in the 15th century as a monkey statue placed on the main bridge into Heidelberg to mock the archbishop of the neighboring land has now become a comical statue constructed by Professor Gernot Rumpf that supposedly brings luck to those who touch it. This naughty monkey holds up a mirror making fun of those who look at it, calling you, in fact, the monkey. However, it is rumored that if you touch the finger of the monkey statue, you will return to Heidelberg one day. If you touch the monkey's mirror, you will gain prosperity. And if you touch the mouse next to the monkey, you will gain fertility. And if nothing else, you can just get a great photo next to a uniquely strange bronze sculpture of a baboon. So that's a fun little one that is there in Heidelberg. Next, we're going to go up to Heidelberg Castle because there's a lot of cool stuff in Heidelberg Castle. It was filled with legends and lore, so I really quite enjoyed that. The first was at the main door of the castle through the gate, the Heidelberg Castle door knocker is a knocker with a bite out of it. As you enter the gorgeous towering grounds of the castle at Heidelberg, you must pass through the walkway and bridge into the courtyard. As you walk through the towering gate, you'll notice a little door in it, which used to allow visitors into the castle. Castles regularly had small doors for people to crouch into within the base of the gate door itself, so they didn't have to open the full gate for people, as it allowed people to come in ducking, a position you'd like the visitors to be in, if you quickly realize that they are a foe and not your friend. And on this little door is a big black door knocker. This one in particular has a huge cut through it that almost goes through the full width of the metal knocker. Rumor, or perhaps just a comical story, has it that at one point in time, the owners of the castle declared that anyone who bit completely through the iron door knocker would inherit the castle. The only taker was a witch. And she almost bit through it. Unfortunately, she fell just a bit short of accomplishing this task. And today, when you go to Heidelberg Castle, you can see for yourself, see the kind of weird bite mark in the door knocker there, and decide if you think it came from a witch or just wear and tear over the years. We're going to talk more about this in a second, because this is kind of what brought Heidelberg full circle back to me here, is the Heidelberg Tun. But we'll continue on with that later. I'll give you a quick blurb now. If you're at the castle, you can't miss the largest wine barrel in the world. Built in 1751, this barrel holds 58,000 gallons of wine. But hold your excitement. This was filled with the wine tax from the region. So it was generally the bottom of the barrel wine, so to speak. Not really what you would want to be drinking. Last thing about the Heidelberg Castle, which, by the way, if you're in Heidelberg, you can't miss the castle. If you're in the city center, you'll see it. It's lit up beautifully at night. It kind of towers over the old city center of Heidelberg, but it is one of the most gorgeous castles I have ever seen, and it definitely deserves a visit. There's also a strange and somewhat comical footprint out on the terrace of the castle. Rumor has it that a knight was caught in the bedroom of a noble lady and had to jump down to the courtyard to escape, leaving behind only his footprint. And there is just this nice footprint that looks like it came from a knight there underneath one of the windows, so I guess we'll never really know how it got there. Maybe that story is true. All right, moving on from the castle. This is probably my absolute favorite strange thing I've ever visited in Germany. It's one of my top favorite around the world, and it's in Heidelberg. Studentkarzer, which is the student prison. It is wild. I had no idea what to expect, but when I told my guide that I like strange places, she's like, you have to see the student prison. I'm like, student prison? And before I even think we knew anything about the backstory, she took me in, and it's this old building with these like decrepit wooden floors. And it is covered in wall to wall of just ornate graffiti. But it's not modern graffiti like you would think. It's graffiti from the 1800s. So it's dated. Let me get into the story before I go more. I mean, just picture this. An old building covered in graffiti, but that was put this way from wall to wall, ceiling, every aspect of it, from the 1800s. All right, if you love strange and unusual pieces of history, then I strongly recommend that you visit the student prison in Heidelberg. From 1823 to 1914, students were incarcerated there for wreaking havoc around the city of Heidelberg. University students, noble boys who were usually in a fraternity, would have fun by releasing the town's pigs and chasing them throughout the city streets, throwing rocks at officers, and just generally acting as unruly students can sometimes act. Because of this, the university created a prison to punish the students in. However, from the start, it never quite worked out the way it was supposed to. The officers who came to arrest the boys were generally of a lower station, so they had trouble taking in these nobles to bring them over to prison. They really couldn't enforce their authority because they were not of the right class. And when the students realized what it was like to be separated in the prison, it became more of a competition or a rite of passage and an experience for them instead of a punishment. They began having celebrations and parades to lead their fraternity brothers into the prison. Fraternities began competing to see who could have the worst punishments. And the walls of the student prison became a truly unique and, well, somewhat breathtaking canvas. The boys painted their fraternity colors, ridiculous sayings, and why they were put into prison on the wall. My personal favorite graffiti piece was that of a bunch of cats with the accompanying text, "Warning, feral beasts live here." Classic. So if you're in Heidelberg, it's a really cool piece of history that you have to see for yourself. It's super bizarre. It showcases kind of a lost piece of history that didn't quite work out. And, you know, what it does with the class system, too. There was a lot of elements put into that that were quite fascinating. Another is the Heidelberg Bergbahn, which is a cable car. It seems that cable car-like railways up the side of a mountain are the new hip trend in tourism. When I was in Guanajuato, there was a cool cable car that led you up and down the side of the mountain. There was also a cable car taking you up to a gorgeous park with charming views in Freiburg and Brisgau in Germany. There was also one in Stuttgart. And there's also one in Heidelberg, except this one is much more unique as it combines a striking old history with much more modern charm. This unique cable car-like railway ran for the first time in 1890, so it was quite old and rather ahead of its time. It was renovated in 2002, so while the lower car can come up to the castle, and that one is more modern, you can still ride in the original car up the steeper part of the mountain from the old castle to the very top of the Kongstuhl hillside. It was a beautiful excursion in this car. And I recommend it because you get a view of the entire city of Heidelberg, and it is gorgeous from the top, and there's a restaurant up there too. So definitely check out the cable car. The University Square, or Campus Square, in the middle of Heidelberg has seen its fair share of history. Perhaps one of the most eerie pieces of history was some of the Nazi book burnings. Being a university town, Heidelberg residents have generally been quick to jump on new trends and causes, which is likely why Heidelberg saw many Nazi enthusiasts back during World War II. The square looked quite different back then, as there were a lot of Nazi flags and slogans that were hung around, and book burnings for any materials containing ideas the Nazis deemed too radical were burned, and many, many were burned here in Heidelberg Square. In fact, many professors were dismissed for political reasons during that time, and the ones who were not generally feared for their lives. So while it is a gorgeous and charming place now, it does have a darker history you should look for on the visits, as most places do. For those who love history, a stop into the University Square is essential. There's a lot of plaques and memorials dedicated to the victims of the Holocaust there now. And I got a couple of other interesting tidbits about the unique history of Heidelberg. Heidelberg Studentkuss, or Heidelberg Studentkiss, is a charming place to pick up a sweet treat for a lover. It was said that a couple centuries ago, the cafe was a place for young ladies to come visit with their chaperones. And across the way, a chocolate store opened up, which is now called Studentkiss, in 1863, as a way for young men admirers to gift affection to their young ladies next door. It was acceptable for them to give them a kiss if it was made of chocolate. So they, you know, cute little thing where the chocolatier opens up a store across the street from where all the pretty little young ladies were hanging out with their, you know, chaperones, and the boys could buy them chocolates and give them an acceptable kiss made out of chocolate. I thought that was a cute story. And we also have the physics window at the Church of the Holy Spirit in Heidelberg. This one is really wild. Now, when one thinks of science and religion, those are generally two things that don't go hand in hand. They are two elements that have been at odds since their conception. So it's rather intriguing that you'll find a physics window dedicated to science at the Church of the Holy Spirit in Heidelberg. This window, created by John Schreider, was put in as a replacement after the church's windows were destroyed in the Second World War. There was supposed to be a series put in honoring philosophy, literature, the arts, and the sciences, but after this window was so poorly received, the others were called off. This physics window is meant to show the greatest thing that physics created, as well as provide the reality of the worst things physics has done, giving you a complete perspective. So E equals mc squared is written on the window as an ode to Einstein's theory of relativity. Also, the date Hiroshima was dropped, perhaps one of the worst things physics has done. The gravity of this window was perhaps not something most people wanted to admire while attending church, so while the window remains up, the others were quickly canceled prior to being put up. That's an interesting thing to see. And then last but not least, Heidelberg has experienced an interesting history with Catholicism and Protestant religions. They were generally Protestant, however, there was a lot of Catholic influence in the city for years. So naturally, under a period of Catholic reign, there were Virgin Mary statues of Jesus and other extremely Catholic accents placed around the city as a reminder of Catholicism. So as you go about the town and admire the views, you'll see a lot of Virgin Mary statues staring down at you practically wherever you go. A subtle, maybe not subtle, reminder that you should visit the Catholic Church. So all in all, Heidelberg is a charming cultural hotspot filled with art, history, culture, lore, legends, weird stuff, everything you could want out of a trip. It, of course, has its own myths, legends, and unusual spots to see, so I highly, highly, highly encourage you to visit Heidelberg. If I had to pick a single place in Germany that would be my favorite place so far, it's definitely Heidelberg. And before we close out this episode, I want to expand more on the Heidelberg Tun, that large wine barrel, and the legend of Perkio, who guarded it. So we're going to do that really fast here to end out this episode. The Heidelberg Tun, an enormous wine barrel that can hold 58,000 gallons of wine, as we mentioned before, sits under Heidelberg Castle in the structure's cellar. While there have been four barrels in the cellar throughout the history of the castle, only one remains there now, the Heidelberg Tun, referred to as the largest wine barrel in the world. It is, in fact, so large that it has a small dance floor built above it so guests can stand above the barrel and dance if they feel the urge to do so. There's actually a photo of me on it on mallorysadventures.com, so if you're interested, go to mallorysadventures.com, search Heidelberg, and it'll come up. This barrel, built in 1751, could hold 58,574 gallons of wine specifically upon its completion. However, since its wood has dried over the centuries, it can now only hold 57,854 gallons of wine. Despite rarely ever holding wine, it was used at one time to hold the wine tax of the region, as I had mentioned before. Because of this, it held a gross mixture of some of the worst wines that Heidelberg had. It was supposedly only filled three times, as it apparently leaked and had to be filled through an opening at the top with a hose. Perhaps even more iconic and interesting than the largest wine barrel in the world is the story of the famous keeper of the wine barrel and unofficial mascot of Heidelberg, Perkio. Perkio was the famous jester to Carl Philippe, Prince Charles III Philip, the elector who ordered the construction of this wine barrel. He supposedly got his name because when Philippe originally asked him if he could drain the whole barrel by himself, he answered, "Perché no?" which is Italian for "why not?" He was then referred to as Perkio, thanks to that reply, which he regularly leaned into after that moment. He was jokingly dubbed the perfect guard for the barrel, as he supposedly only drank wine for the entirety of his life, until the day before he died, but we'll get into that later. Even today, a small statue of Perkio sits above the wine barrel in the cellar of Heidelberg Castle, guarding the structure for all eternity. Supposedly born under the name Clemens Pankert, though some say his real name was Giovanni Clementi, Perkio was a button maker in Salerne, a small village in Italy, before serving Prince Charles III, Philip, as his cupbearer and personal entertainer in Heidelberg. As mentioned above, whether it was pertaining to being asked to drink the whole barrel of wine, or just his constant reply of "Perché no?" when he was offered a cup of wine, his famed response gave him the name that would live on throughout history. Accounts from the castle claim that he drank between 5 and 8 gallons of wine per day as he guarded the wine barrel, leaving many to believe he could have diabetes insipidus, which can cause extreme thirst. This seems to make sense as both diabetes insipidus and dwarfism, which Perkiel also had, can be caused by issues with the pituitary gland. The love that people had for him and his pranks and his life made him a legendary figure and the unofficial mascot of Heidelberg in his death. Today you can still see small statues of him throughout the city, and many establishments and institutions are even named after him. But it isn't just the story of Perkiel's life that made him go down in German legend, rather the story of his death. The story of his death was perpetuated in a letter by Victor Hugo. Reports say that at the age of 82, Perkiel fell ill. His doctor strongly encouraged him to stop drinking wine and to instead drink water. Supposedly, Perkiel drank the first glass of water in his life at the age of 82 and abruptly died the next day, leaving the town to say that drinking water had actually killed their beloved jester. Others spread the tale that the king played a prank on Perkiel and replaced his beloved wine with water, and just as in the other tale, the water killed Perkiel. Considering the amount of wine he drank, he could have realistically gone into withdrawal so severe that it killed him. So maybe water really did kill him. His legend will forever tell that tale. Perkiel's life is celebrated annually during Carnival. And if you've ever had the pleasure of stepping into the city center of Heidelberg, and I really hope you do, you will see his imprint all around you throughout the city. So that's what I have for you guys today. This came back up full circle, actually, because Michael told me about Perkiel again recently. He's like, you should hear this story from Heidelberg. It might be interesting. And I'm like, oh, wait, no, I've been there and I know exactly what you're talking about. So I thought it would be a fun thing to speak to you all about today. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to this episode of Weird World Adventures, the podcast. And until next time, I hope you all stay weird.